Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
First dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? My dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Time champs Real Madrid face six-time winners Liverpool in the Champions League final. Ooh, we love an underdog. Welcome to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Betway. It's Friday, 27th of May. I'm Kate Mason.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Andy Russell.
Yes, welcome along to the show, everybody. Me, Andy, and Jim in your ears today. Andy is a remote disembodied voice, the voice of God, if you will. Andy Brassel, how do you feel being the voice of God?
I think it's only appropriate before the Champions League final, but that's for you to judge.
I can see you doing that, actually. Have you ever done one of those, like, in a stadium, rah, the people...
What is it? What,
I was trying to do Big Brother, but I've really failed. Because I can't do that really bassy thing that, you know, them blokes do who always get booked to do stadiums.
When you say them blokes,
is that
who you mean? Like mad evangelists?
No, I meant more like, you know, the guys and they announce people coming onto the stage or coming onto the...
Oh, the sort of Let's Get Ready to Rumble guys?
Yes, those
guys. Okay, yeah.
Do you want to do that?
I don't know that I've got really the demeanour to really pull that off, to be honest.
All right. Brass, have you done it? I feel like you might have done it in a stadium.
No, I don't think I have a deep enough voice to manage it. Although that's 2 years living in France for you because you realise that everyone has a voice an octave lower than you.
Really?
So I don't know. I could never be that guy who... There's only one guy, as far as the announcers go, the guy at Staples Center, well, it's now crypto.com arena or whatever it is, but at the Staples Center, who goes, "Welcome to Staples Center, home of the Los Angeles Lakers and all sports entertainment." Mm. And, you know, that is voice that's worth hearing in that sort of announcement.
I'm glad we're probably not going to have an announcer like that at the Champions League final. I think the football's going to do the talking, I would imagine, isn't it?
Yeah, let the football do the talking. It is the big one this weekend. Liverpool against Real Madrid. Will the football do the talking, really? Because there's been a lot of talking already. Mo Salah saying about 6 times that it is a revenge mission, which I thought was quite enjoyable, because I think the main thing about that, apart from obviously they lost 3-1, it was the final he's talking about as a 2018 one where Loris Karius presumably had concussion off the back of a certain Sergio Ramos incident. He also had a lot of fun with Mo Salah, who had to come off after doing what was described as a judo hold of some kind. I'm not big into my judo, but I believe the kind of British Judo Association or whoever the hell it was who tweeted out that that was a specific kind of hold. So yes, it's a revenge mission. However, Andy, Sergio Ramos is tucked up in Paris. He's not involved. So is the spice, I mean, that just kills the spice.
One could be forgiven for thinking that football is quite literally ending, given that you have last week a picture of Sergio Ramos and Lionel Messi poised over the same trophy, which I believe has shaken Spain to its very foundations. I mean, it was so different then. Real Madrid was so different then. Liverpool was so different then. If it's living in Salah's head, or more likely he is using it as a way to motivate himself at the end of a very long, tiring season. I do understand that. But I'm sure for most of the players, it's not a big deal. In fact, I would suggest that for him, maybe it's not that big a deal, because I have a friend who was working at that final in Kyiv who told me that having looked really grumpy and disappointed at the end, as players do, he then noticed Mo Salah that he could get his picture taken with Salt Bae, and he really perked up.
That is so cringe.
Well, maybe you should bring Salt Bae along. He does seem overly motivated. Like, is there a danger that Mo Salah is just going to be too motivated? Salt Bae is an incredibly motivated man in a direction none of us understand that has gone incredibly well for him. But is there a danger like Mo Salah is going to be too pumped, get himself sent off early on or something?
You think Mo Salah's going to do a bit of a Rob Holding? Is that what your feeling is?
Well, not to that extremity. You're comparing Mo Salah to Rob Holding. But is it necessarily a good thing for him to be that pumped up? You know what I mean? You've got to be very calm in these games. You know, if you lose your head, that's when the game starts to sort of run away from you a little bit. And I imagine you're probably right, Andy. I imagine he's using it as motivation rather than genuinely try to sort of fuel some revenge mission on Madrid.
And of course, the key thing that maybe that stands against the revenge mission is that, of course, Real Madrid, the 13-time champions, are the massive underdogs here, Andy. And you know, they're going to be quaking in their boots having to do something that is so so unusual for their club. Indeed, a club that, as Miguel Delaney pointed out this week, has played in over a quarter of all European Cup and Champions League finals in history. But they are the underdogs.
Well, for 3/4 of them, they weren't there, right? So, two sides to every coin.
The point really is that it doesn't feel just like Real Madrid have played in a quarter of those finals. It feels like Benzema, Modric, Kroos, and Casemiro have played in a quarter of those finals. That is the thing, because, you know, since that 3 in a row under Zinedine Zidane, there's still huge parts of that team left. So I think that's relevant. The muscle memory, as we've seen throughout this Champions League and throughout a lot of their Champions League runs, are really important. And I guess that is the trepidation you would feel as a Liverpool fan. Going into a final, where, you know, normally if you go into any game as Liverpool, you think, if we play well, we're winning. It's not even a question. I think, you know, from watching Real Madrid throughout this Champions League season, you could play really well for 70 minutes against them and you could end up losing the game. That's the weird thing going in against this Real Madrid. So I know people talk about it as, like, you know, a feeling, a sense of belief, all that sort of stuff. And it ties into that a bit, as well as individual quality. But knowing that one of these teams doesn't really have to play that well to win, even against like one of the two best teams in the world. It's a pretty strange sentiment to go in with.
I think the point about Madrid's muscle memory is a good one, but it's also, you know, worth remembering this is Liverpool's third Champions League final in the past five seasons. So the same is true of them. And I don't really want to jinx anything. But I think the mentalities that both of these teams have and that the experience that both of these teams have, I mean, this could actually be a really good final. So often we see a final, even after a really brilliant Champions League campaign, can be a little bit of a damp squib. But I think there's so much to this one, especially with Madrid just not knowing that they're beaten. That's going to be something that's in Liverpool's mind, you would think. Like, essentially, you have to be... If you're 5-0 up and Camavinga comes on and they change everything up, it's like, oh God, could this all fall apart? It's like such an interesting sort of psychological hurdle that they're going to have to overcome. That feeling that even if you are quite far ahead, Madrid have got this in them to come back.
Yeah, as a at risk of sounding like a walking football cliche, they've got no right to be in this Champions League final, right?
Well, it's the brow, isn't it? Have Liverpool faced a tactic like the Ancelotti eyebrow raise?
What, you think that's the crux of it?
I think that's it. He's absolutely honed it at Madrid. He raises the eyebrow, they raise their game. Sometimes football's a simple game, right?
That's going to be some sort of like toothpaste advertising slogan in 5 years' time. No side has scored more than one goal in any of the last five major European finals. But
exactly, that's what I'm talking about. Cagey, boring. Go at each other today, please. One thing I'd like to see, actually, is given this Mbappe thing seems to have rocked Madrid a little bit and they're trying to play that down. Obviously, they're thinking, oh God, who are we going to get in? And we've heard both Salah and Sadio Mane linked to them. Now, both of those players have strongly hinted that they're going to be staying at Liverpool. Sign the contracts just before the kickoff on the pitch. Message to Madrid. This is how it's done. You're not having our players. Who are you going to sign next season? No one. Just get in their heads.
And then a barbecue along on the sidelines.
Yeah, why not?
Like we've been trying to pitch for many seasons in the Football Ramble.
What you were saying, Jim, before actually about Salah and Mane, I think it's really interesting to see where this particular bit is going to go because they're both strongly hinted and Salah's actually come out and said, hasn't he, that he's going to stay next season.
Yeah.
But nothing about signing a new contract, which I think is quite interesting. So you've just got this possibility, however theoretical at the moment, of 2023 being this massive elite A-plus level free agent free-for-all, which I think would be like so exciting. And, you know, you touched there, Jim, on Kylian Mbappe there. I just wonder, with that signing on fee and those wages, if you are an A-pluser, you're sitting there thinking, you know what? I'll let my contract run and see what I can get next summer.
Particularly at that age profile, where it will be your last opportunity to do that.
Yeah.
Speaking of the oldies, Luka Modric is in his hunt for his fifth Champions League, guys, which would take him level with Ronaldo.
Ooh, he wouldn't like that, would he? I mean, it does feel a little bit like one last job for Modric, Cruz and Casemiro. I know that Casemiro is only 30, but he's been in that midfield a long time.
Yeah.
It's that the midfield battle is interesting, right? Yeah. That's where all the spice is going to take place, I think.
I can't wait. And the other thing, Brass, I know you'll be looking out for is that in Real Madrid's last game against Real Betis, there was a double corridor of applause. One for the league for Real Madrid and one for Betis for the Copa del Rey. So would there be three hit? Now, how's this going to work?
I'm interested to know the beef that creates between Atletico and Real Betis next season because it did seem like very much a reaction to Atletico not doing one. It's like, you're not going to do one? Well, fuck you. We're going to do two. Have some of this. I quite enjoyed it.
Also a big week, as listener Bob Groves pointed out in an email to us, for Andy Robertson. His last five games of the season are as follows: FA Cup final, Premier League decider, Champions League final, Scotland playoff semi against Ukraine to get to the World Cup, and then potentially their playoff final, all in the space of 22 days.
That is phenomenal, isn't it? Going back to normal football, it's going to feel like a pre-season friendly. He's going to feel so free.
Yeah.
He might be top scorer next season because nothing will seem to matter. No pressure. Ridiculous run of games.
Andy Robertson. Yeah, I mean, as you say, also just generally speaking about the Champions League final, speaking about the 2018 one, all the things that have changed. I mean, that was in Kyiv, let's not forget. So how the world changes and how we continue to think of Ukraine when we're having these conversations. You guys have mentioned Benzema, who will almost certainly be key to this Champions League final. And of course, the situation with Mbappe, which we're just going to talk a little bit about now, because Benzema was being asked about him. Well, we mentioned this midweek, didn't we?
Yeah.
And he said, well, look, and reasonably so, I think, Brass, we don't concern ourselves with the small matter of Mbappe signing, not for Real Madrid, but for PSG.
There's two ways of taking this, really, mate. Like, you can either take it the way that most of the world has taken it, in that he is patronising and belittling Mbappe. It's the use of not even pequeñas cosas, but pequeñitas cosas, little things. So I think I tend to think that he's thinking, why would I be talking about transfers when we've got a bloody Champions League final? That's the way I took it, at least. And I've already enjoyed, of course, Mbappe saying, there's no problem. Me and Karim will have a little chat about it on international duty next time, which is interesting, because that already makes the Nations League way more exciting.
Yeah.
You know, thinking the atmosphere between those two at Clairefontaine. I think the Benzema thing has been taken in the context of, it feels like, you know, when the cabinet have their round of tweets to support Boris Johnson,
and it feels very much identical.
If you could tweet something like this, that Florentino Perez had, you know, sort of sent a little WhatsApp around the first team group going, if you could like put something along the lines of, it takes a real man to represent this club, or something similar, that would be really appreciated. And by really appreciated, I mean required.
But I mean, you're absolutely right, aren't you, Andy? Like, yeah. This is it. This is the Champions League final.
Oh, completely. I do love that the beef has gone beyond Mbappe himself and Madrid to La Liga and Ligue 1, the executives just flying off at each other. It seems like a La Liga going to try and like sue Mbappe to make him play for Madrid or something. Like, it's all, they are so apoplectic with rage. And the Ligue 1's response has been hilarious, isn't it? Just essentially talking about how, you know, Real Madrid have two of the most highly paid players in the world sat on the bench. The situations with the Super
Will
League.
Will Bale actually even make it onto the bench?
Almost certainly not, you would think.
Yeah, and if you think of what
that'd be
achieved.
Incredible. Imagine if Gareth Bale comes on and gets the winner. That'd be a fairy tale, wouldn't it? Very unlikely, but not impossible. We know how good he is.
But Bale is more likely to be on the pitch having the kick around with all the other Madrid kids, like Cristiano's son and all the rest of it, at the end. That's the closest he's going to get. I mean, look, if he gets into the celebration this time in Paris, he's done better than he did after they won the league. So, you know, it's all progress, right?
He'll be doing the, like, pot shot penalties. You know, normally they get a kid on to take a penalty at half time. That'll be him. Just really contributing with his flag around his shoulders in that order. Yeah, you're absolutely right, Jim. Ligue 1's chairman, Vincent Lebrun, said that it's the complaints, the Liga complaints about the situation with Mbappe are disrespectful smears after Javier Tebas labelled Kylian Mbappe's PSG contract as an insult to football.
It's all very unedifying and all very childish, and I would like to see it continue all summer.
Yes, that's what we want.
Absolutely.
Is it an insult to football, Brass?
Look, this could keep going backwards and forwards all the time. It is ridiculous, I think, Tebas coming out and saying this. And
There is an argument to be made that, you know, for all his faults, he is sort of right in this respect.
Yeah, I understand that. But I do think about the glass houses and stones thing. Because especially...
Yeah, but if only the pure of heart can pass comment, then where are we? You know?
Someone
being a hypocrite doesn't make them wrong, does it?
yeah, exactly. And I just do think the whole time it's in my head, not even about Real Madrid, about Barcelona, a club that behaves all the time that it's a higher form of being than any other football club. Mm. And yet, well, I don't even need to complete the sentence, do I? It's just...
So, yes, we're going to get to a break in a second, but I guess we'll just wrap this this preview by saying exactly that. It's going to be,
I'm really looking forward to it.
It's going to be such a good game, isn't it? It's going to be, it's got to be. Everything is there. All the ingredients are there. These two massive European clubs. You know, we haven't actually really talked as much about Liverpool as I expected, but of course, we've spoken about them much more this season than we have about Real Madrid. It's a huge, huge game. It's really exciting that it's in Paris in this way as well. And I think there are going to be goals. And I think Liverpool are going to win fairly comprehensively, possibly with a late, maybe like a 2-1, like a late... I don't think it's really can be called a consolation goal in a Champions League final, but you know what I mean. A late consolation from Real Madrid. That would be I would think.
I've been saying Liverpool are going to win the Champions League all season, so I'm not going to duck out of that now. I think they're going to do it as well.
And Andy Brassel, do you want to lay your brilliant prediction cards on the line?
I hope Liverpool, I think Real Madrid.
Nice. They are that team, aren't they? They are absolutely that team.
They are that team. All right, we'll leave you to just simmer on that while we get to a quick break.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Hi, I'm Linvoy Primus, and you're listening to the Football Ramble.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble preview show, sponsored by Betway. Time for some dangerous emails.
If you've got something for us, show us footballramble.com.
Ooh! Yes, Dangerous Kieran has been in touch. He says, the discussion of Ivano Benesi and the plate of chicken wings tenuously reminded me of an ex-colleague who showed up at work one Monday with two black eyes and a damaged nose. Damaged.
Oh, I know.
When probed as to what had caused his facial disfigurement, he revealed that during celebrations for his 50th birthday over the weekend, his presumably adult son had decided to custard pie him, except with the fundamental error of using a ceramic plate instead of a paper one, turning what should have been a harmless prank into grievous bodily harm. Perhaps the incident between Brian Laws and Benetti was similarly innocent. I can only believe that the man at the Match Awards circa 1996 in Division 1 could have been a plate of chicken wings, that Brian tried to present it to him a little too enthusiastically, or perhaps he confused him with Peter, the cat Benetti, and figured the poultry would be appreciated. Just a thought, yeah. Kira might be onto something then. Imagine getting smashed in the face with a ceramic plate by your own son on your 50th birthday. It's going to be a low point, isn't it? Explaining it all week as well.
My days. On the upside, I think, strictly speaking, that is actual bodily harm rather than grievous.
Imagine. I mean, we've all had those moments where you've made a little bit of a mistake. He's like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. Imagine smashing your dad's face in on his 50th birthday.
Oh my goodness, maybe that was Sergio Ramos's defence. I think flipped Mo Salah in 2018. I don't think I would ever have considered what kind of a plate you needed for custard pieing someone in the face.
Well, that's good then, isn't it?
Is this a prank that you regularly participate in? Have you ever custard pied anyone?
No, I can't say I have. It seems a waste of a pie, doesn't it?
How is your... Did you not go to clown school or something?
I didn't go to clown school, no. I just walk like this.
I think it's a big assumption that it was an adult who used the
ceramic if he's 50.
Plate. I mean,
yeah.
I think it's a huge part of family parties when children accidentally injure adults. In fact, I remember when I had a party for a Champions League final many years ago, and our very own Luke Moore came over, and my then under 1 year old son, who's now 10, when he was being introduced to Luke, he thought his beard was a disguise, grabbed it with both hands and tried to pull it off.
Wow.
And it was intensely painful for poor old Morzo. And now he has a shorter beard. So draw your own conclusions.
I've never had anyone try to pull my beard off. I can't imagine it'd be that nice.
If you have injured Luke Moore in a party, email us show@footballramble.com or tweet us @footballramble. We love to hear from you. Be careful when custard pieing people, though. Mm. Always use a paper plate, a recyclable paper plate. End of public announcement, public service announcement. There are two other massive games this weekend. Huddersfield play Nottingham Forest. That's on Sunday at 4:30. They return to Wembley, Nottingham Forest, for the first time since the 1992 League Cup final under Brian Clough.
Yeah, first time they've been to the new Wembley Forest.
One of extremely few teams for whom that's the case.
A surprisingly small amount, actually. It's not been there that long, is it? I think it's 8 teams, something like that.
Amazing. Well, yeah, we have a Nottingham Forest fan in the wider Ramble clan, and he has managed to secure a ticket. So we hope all the Forest fans listening have managed to do the same thing, because it should be an absolute
It's going to be
party.
Incredible. It's going to be an absolutely incredible atmosphere. It's a funny one for Forest, isn't it? Because it's been such a long time, as we know, since they've really kind of threatened to get promoted in a way. They've got this reputation among themselves of always falling short and just being unreliable. So it's going to be nervy, right? Because there's no sense of just being happy to be there in a playoff final, is there?
No.
It's such an all or nothing thing. And I cannot imagine it's actually even enjoyable at this point. You know, you just want to get there, get in the stadium, get around the TV, whatever you're doing, get the actual stress of it out of the way. But the release of that, if they get promoted, be incredible. And also, if Huddersfield managed to come back up as well, they were one of those teams where you think they were going to sink like a stone, and just not be in the conversation again. They've done incredibly well to just to be back in the conversation.
Well, equal or additional nerviness, perhaps, from the Forest perspective. Based on the fact that Huddersfield have had two trips to Wembley this century, both 0-0 draws in the playoff final where they won on penalties.
Oh, God. Penalties in a playoff final. So stressful. Just too much.
Yeah, if it does go that way, Forest have Bryce Samba amongst their ranks, at least. Ex-Forest midfielder Sam Sauer said this week, "I know Bryce is a great, great keeper. Sometimes I even want to slap his face. Because I know he can do more."
Interesting motivational techniques. But Bryce Samba is a massive shithouse, isn't he? Which is probably going to work in their favour at Wembley if he can. You know, I think if you're a shithouse, you generally keep your cool, right? You keep your nerve. I think that will stand them in good stead.
It's performative, you mean, rather than...
Well, it's a confidence thing, isn't it? To be able to do that, to back yourself enough to try and throw someone else with your own confidence or your own skullduggery.
Yes, skullduggery is a term that should be used more often. For the neutral, the Championship Player Final, though, is just the best day. Yeah. Like, the tension in the stadium and the kind of euphoria that you see from whichever team wins it. I used to do some work at Wembley on the announcing side, and it was just always my absolute favourite game of the season, really.
So you were that big booming voice.
Even more favourite than when I had to work on the One Direction had to do safety announcements for the One Direction gigs. I have absolutely no idea why. No, I didn't boom brass. I was like a sort of like a radio thing. I was like, you know, oh, here's the team news. Just right. On concourse.
Oh, you could have boomed.
Well, here's the
you?
Team news for a One Direction gig.
Harry Styles.
Sweeper.
Yeah, I didn't really get the brief.
It's funny. I remember very vividly my one experience of supporting a team that was in a penalty shootout in a playoff final. When I went to Wimbledon versus Luton, which was actually because of the Champions League final was at the City of Manchester Stadium that year at the Etihad. And what you were saying about there's no sense of enjoying the occasion as a neutral, I think because of Wimbledon's like unique position, the two playoff finals that I went to in relatively recent years, they did both feel like that. Mm. But there was just that, the only point where I started feeling the nerves was A, when we went one up in the penalty shootout, when we saved one and scored one in that playoff final to come back up from the conference to the Football League. And then when Lyle Taylor scored quite late on, the first goal in the 2016 final to go up to League One against Plymouth, because at that right up until that point I thought this is a great day out, isn't it great to be here? And then all of a sudden it's like shit, we've got something to lose, we might actually do this. And so yes. I belatedly had that sense of oh, bloody hell, this is big. But there's no danger, as you say, Jim, from not feeling that from the very beginning, because you get all of this like. All over Europe and the world, you get this billed as the most valuable game in world football.
So annoying, isn't it? It really detracts
it
from what is.
It is annoying.
It's a brilliant game that doesn't need that nonsense around it.
Yeah,
but Jim, it's annoying, but it's true. I think that's the thing, you know. And there's no putting that out of your head. And you know, we as football fans, we think about that now, don't we? We think about that more than we should. We think beyond the glory. We think about the money, what it'll mean financially to our clubs. And we think about that in everything in terms of top four versus cups, all that sort of stuff. It's a shame, but I think even the most romantic football fan can't help but think like that nowadays.
And also to add to what we said at the beginning of this, you know, both of these sides, Nottingham Forest having been out of it for so long and Huddersfield actually having been recently in the Premier League, this is not just a big day out and whichever loses, you know, good to get this far. This is both of them, everything on the line. Mm. They feel like they should be Premier League teams. So, yeah, it's going to be a fascinating one on Sunday. Forest beat, to get a bit of the background, Forest beat Huddersfield 2-0 on their own patch back in September, lost 1-0 in the return leg, but on their most recent meeting, 2-1 in the FA Cup. And Nottingham Forest, after going through 14 bosses in 10 years, seem to have an absolute corker in Steve Cooper.
Yeah, he's done an incredible job there.
Yeah.
And it feels to me like it should end with the promotion. I actually feel a little bit sorry for Huddersfield fans because everyone's sort of getting sort of like behind the sort of romance of what's going on at Forest and what a brilliant job Cooper's doing. And some of the players Forest have are just really, really likeable. They're a very, very watchable team. But I can't wait to see how it pans out.
If Forest do get promoted, does Steve Cooper get upgraded from Nick Cage to Ryan Gosling in the film, do we think?
Oof. I think Ryan Gosling's
I think it would be only fair. He has done an absolutely, like, beyond incredible job. Yeah. Like, we knew he was a good coach anyway.
Yeah.
But to take Forest from where they were, and I know it's been said before.
They were, what, 14th
like,
or something
right
when he
at the
joined.
Bottom at the start of the season. To hear, it's remarkable. It's absolutely remarkable. So like you were saying before, guys, there's like no consolation for finishing second and they'll want to finish it off. But he has done an unbelievable job, beyond manager of the year sort of stuff.
Steve Cooper's consolation will be that Ian Holloway says he should win manager of the season if he wins this game. Although, unfortunately, all the awards have been handed out.
Yeah. Is that an encouragement or is it a curse?
Thanks, Ollie. I love his enthusiasm. You can never say he's not enthusiastic enough. Yeah, so a huge weekend of football to come. The Championship playoff final is kicking off at 4:30 on Sunday. The League Two playoff final also this weekend. It's Mansfield up against Port Vale. That is on Saturday at 4 p.m. Lovely. And there's more big football news available to us this weekend, which is that a special aircraft has been designed as a flying museum in tribute to Diego Maradona, and it has just been opened.
It's just never ending, isn't it? It's amazing, the love for Maradona. His daughter said, we can't believe or understand this craziness. The love involved. How far will fans go? As far as a plane. I love that.
As far as a plane.
Flying museum.
Interesting that she didn't take into account the point of a plane that travels long distances.
Yeah.
With that metaphor.
Apparently there's AI on it.
What?
That means you can interact with Maradona. And I think that's been massively brushed over in all of the descriptions of it I've seen. What does that mean? You can interact with an AI Maradona?
About Tupac at Coachella, sort of.
Yeah, business. Well, I
or
think
the Kim
so.
Kardashian dad thing.
You can have a little chat with him in the cockpit. Like, what is going on there?
I don't think that's true. If I were Pete, if Pete were here, I'm going to do Pete.
Would know. Yeah.
Pete would say, people just put AI stuff in the bump around new things
yes.
in order for people to be like, oh, there's a hook. There's some special clever thing that I don't understand and I'm not going to look into it because AI is a magical thing for the future and I don't need to know about it. But that shows that this is very futuristic, like planes are futuristic. Thank you very much. The plane does move, by
Futurist.
The way, which I hadn't really realised. It's
not just a static museum.
No, yeah, it's not like one of those, you know, like... red buses, London buses that's been reconvened for a restaurant or whatever. This plane will fly around Argentina and end up in Qatar for the World Cup.
Wow.
Nice.
I knew you'd be on board with it. Yeah, there's going to be memorabilia from the World Cup winning 1986 team and of course, this key AI-based interaction. I mean, I think this whole thing asks more questions than it answers, to be
honest. Absolutely. What a brilliant way to preserve Maradona's legacy by just adding further confusion.
I'm surprised, I suppose, with the AI thing, I'm surprised they haven't gone down the old, like, Diego dress-up, you know, wear all his shirts, pretend you've won... Why is it on a plane? Sorry,
yeah.
I really don't think we've got to the crux of this
I don't
at all.
Think anyone knows. I don't think even the people who have created it know why they've made a plane full of Maradona memorabilia where you can apparently have a chat with an AI version of him, but let's be honest, you probably can't. And then they're flying it to Qatar. I don't know. I don't know why. They don't know why. His daughter doesn't know why. He wouldn't know why. It's just, if you can think of it in Argentina and you can relate it to Maradona, someone will allow you to do it.
I think you're right. First, you know how you can always like figure out links from European football happenings? Have you got any? Have you got one?
Look, I feel as if they had to go a step up in Maradona tributes after Napoli released probably five different shirts with a rather underwhelming image of him with a thumbprint on his face this season. I was trying to figure this out with a friend the other day, and he reckoned that Napoli had 9 first team shirts this season. 9! Which I find remarkable. But the thing is, since we've got onto the AI bit, all I can think of is getting onto the plane and a hologram of Maradona doing California Love, which I'm very much in favour of, by the way.
By the way, Peter Shilton apparently didn't show up to the unveiling. Oh,
right.
Shame, isn't it?
Got a special invite.
I imagine it's
probably
busy, but it's still...
Yeah. It's good to get over things eventually, isn't it? Speaking of which, it's time for this.
It's one of those games that's quite difficult to explain, but you'll get it as soon as you start hearing it.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it is Mason's game. Jim yes. has exercised his rematch clause. And is going to go up against the big man.
Oh, good.
The big brass.
Can't wait.
The big Brazier.
The big Brazier. She's trying to get in your head, Andy. I appreciate it. She's trying to help me out.
Are you meant to be doing that?
Yeah. Well, exactly. I need all the help I can get, to be honest.
Yes, there obviously are no sides from the Invigilator.
Invigilator.
Quizmaster.
Yeah. Announcer.
Now I feel nervous. Like the time that I accidentally went into a history exam with a ruler that I bought from an exhibition that had the name and ruling dates of every English king on it.
Nice.
So I quite innocently went in there with well, I quite innocently went in there and then I turned over my ruler like 5 minutes in. And I was like, oh God, what are we going to do? And just hope no one notices. Didn't actually give me any advantage in the exam.
Sure. Anyway. This is a very prolonged and late call attempt to go to prove that you weren't attempting to cheat on your history GCSE, Brass. I like the fact that you're still... still keeping up the pretense. Jim is going to go first on this one because Andy, as we know, is the champion. But I've got a good feeling about this, Jim Campbell.
Oh, good.
Jim is feeling confident. He's got a shirt on. Now, the one thing probably this...
I always have a shirt on.
Yeah, but a shirt is more of like a... You know,
I'm not generally topless in the studio. I just want to clarify
exam,
that.
Isn't it? It's like you look smart, kind of smart today. He's dressed up smart, like going to an exam. Yes. The other thing...
People dress up for exams?
At Oxford. fuck. Right, let's carry on. The point is about this. So, of course, is Andy Brassel is at home today because he's had to do us a solid by doing this one. So I don't know if one of your kids could come and keep an eye on you, given this whole history
check
ruler.
Check you haven't got some sort of cheating ruler.
Yeah. History ruler situation. Or we're just going to trust you, Senor Brass. Either way.
You know what? I do actually have a child at home today, but he's at home because he's lost his voice.
So he couldn't even intervene.
I'm not sure what invigilation element he would add to it.
Well, I trust all of your many sprogs. But I trust you too. So we're going to go first with Jim Campbell.
Okay.
Telling us how many teams he can get. And I have a good feeling about this, as I said, Jim, from 4 available to you for Tom Huddleston.
Ooh, okay.
Tommy H. I can hear Brass's pencil, that little wee scribble that we just heard.
I'm going to go for 3.
Good man. Although, I don't know, sorry, I know I'm not allowed to help, but this might be special circumstances. Do you not think you should push for 4?
I don't know 4.
I know, but Brass is going to know 4, isn't he?
Well, I don't know that. But I think Tom Huddleston's quite a hard one. So.
All right. Brass, you've got your chance.
I can't do more than 3.
Oh!
Do your 3, Jim.
Mate, you've absolutely nailed that. My apologies.
Well, we'll see,
TBC.
Won't we?
Right, go ahead then. The 3 teams that you can name for Tom Huddleston are...
So he obviously played for Spurs, didn't he?
He did.
Played for Derby County.
Correct.
West Brom?
Hull City.
Ah.
That's, I guess, is the one you're confusing that for. And he also played for Wolves.
I had Wolves in my head.
So it's that sort of...
Wolves?
Yeah, on a loan, not for very long. But yeah, just picturing the Tom Huddleston little orangey kit was where I was trying to beam it into your brain, mate.
I needed that one.
Sorry, Andy. You just don't need my support. 1-0 to Andy Brassel.
Also, my Wi-Fi is not good enough for you to beam stuff into my brain.
No, so. You're probably right. Yeah, good point. Okay, we've got next up. We've got a player who has been retired for about 10 or so years. And he played for 5 teams in total. Andy Brassel, what is your bid for Michael Ball?
Michael Ball? 3.
We didn't write anything down. What do we read into that?
Okay,
3. He's gone for 3?
Yeah, and based on that swearing, I'm not going for 4.
No, I suspect he thinks he's got 4 and he's worried that you were going to outbid him.
Well, let's hear it.
All right, let's hear it, Brass.
I can't bloody count. I should have gone for 4. All right.
See.
Manchester City.
Ding!
Everton.
Yep.
PSV.
Very
good. Come on.
Brass.
Nerd.
No, what are we doing? I like nerds.
No, come down to my level.
2-0 it is to Andy Brassel. Come on, Jim. You know, you did a lot of negotiation behind the scenes to get this rematch. And I really feel that you can do something here. All right?
Mm-hmm.
The next man we're going to go for to stay in the game, Jim Campbell. What is your bid on the 8 teams of Emi Martinez?
8 teams.
I know. Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot of loans. I'm going to say that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ooh.
It's a lot of loans. So, you know, just freestyle it. Chuck in a few.
Don't remember any of the loans. Don't remember a single one.
Get creative. Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
I know that you
no,
do.
No, I don't. I'm going to go for three.
This is all right. Three. Not bad.
I can't do more than three. I can't do more than three. You go for it, Jim.
So, obviously, Arsenal and Villa.
Very good.
My brain's telling me Brentford.
Andy Brassel wins!
Yeah, I know Wojciech Szczesny went out to online to Brentford. I thought it might have been a little bit of a pathway there as well.
Oh,
yeah.
Bad luck, Jim Campbell. I had, as you know, high hopes. You did well. It's very difficult because it's a confidence situation with Andy Brassel. He's always gonna make you feel like life's a struggle. The answers are all of the loans for Emi Martinez. Oxford United, very briefly. I think only for one game, possibly. Sheffield Wednesday, Rotherham United, Wolverhampton Wanderers, those tricky Wolves, as they're not known, Hetafe and Reading. What was the one you had, Brass? Or were you a two?
Well, I had Derby, which wasn't any of them, so.
Oh, brutal. Do we do the last two? We do the last two. We go on. That's the fighting spirit, Jim Campbell. Okay, so your bid, please, Andy, for the next one. Quick game is a good game. Thomas Vermaelen with six clubs.
Right.
Yeah, I see what you mean about dead noise. No, thanks for cleaning that.
I should know more than three, but I've only got three in my mind.
Okay, Jim Campbell was shaking his head in a disconsolate fashion.
Go for
so
three.
We head over to the man himself. Three for you, please, bro.
Arsenal.
Yeah.
Ajax.
Very good. That was his first club.
Barcelona.
Nice. The other two, three options, maths.
Which Japanese club did he play for?
Vissel Kobe. Nice. That was his last one. And always worth a guess, I feel like, if you really are pushed, some kind of Japanese club, and normally that one. Roma before that, on loan from Barcelona, and
Roma.
A club I can't really pronounce very well, RKC Valvik.
Valvik, isn't it?
Thanks. The last one then, six clubs for Hugo Ehiogo. Jim Campbell is bidding here.
Six again.
It's a lot.
It is, yeah. I'm going to go three.
Okay, nice. Do you want to go four, Brass?
Maybe. No, you go three. Go on.
He's got you to play quite a lot of times, hasn't he? He's a master of the mental side of this game.
So he played for Villa.
He did.
Middlesbrough.
Yep.
And, I mean, I'm flailing here, bleeding out, staggering around in the dark. Going to go for Wolves because they keep popping up.
To avoid the whitewash, Jim Campbell goes for his third club of Wolves. No.
Five fucking nil.
5-0. That was me thinking it was going to be a beautiful comeback.
Mm.
You guys started off at West Bromwich Albion.
Right. Got it all in the wrong order, didn't I?
Yeah. Villa, Middlesbrough, Leeds United, Rangers, Sheffield United.
I always forget about Rangers.
Look,
it was a battering. It was a battering. These things happen.
The listeners
I have certain standards I expect from myself, and I've fallen short of those today. I'll be working hard on the training ground. Wikipedia.
Working from home.
Won't happen again. It will.
Look, the listeners respect you. I don't know about that. I can speak on their behalf.
And not from the tweets I get. I'm not sure that's true.
I think you should write in and tell Jim how much you respect his attempts to take on the man, the myth, the master, Andy Brassel. How do you feel on your 26 millionth win today, Brass?
It was my hardest game of the season. It was a great performance from Jim. I'm so happy for him.
Channeling Pep Guardiola there. Thank you, Andy Brassel, for showing respect to your vanquished foe. Great to see you today. Thank you for listening to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Betway.
It's The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously,
man. Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.